Thanks to our listeners, Issues Etc. has operated independently and in the black for 12 consecutive years. With 2 weeks left in 2020, we're $95,000 short of expenses. Please make a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
I'm assuming you got my message on your machine.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Tuesday afternoon, December the 15th, we're going to go through some listener email, the Issues Etc. comment line. A little bit later, Rod Dreher, editor of the American Conservative, joins us to talk about a Washington, D.C. rally called the Jericho March. Let's begin with a response to some comments I made last week about wearing masks.
Hello, Pastor Wilkin. This is Nick from Washington State. I'm calling in response to the December 4th responding to listener email segment regarding masks. I do appreciate, first and foremost, your introduction into it regarding talking about the thus saith the Lord regarding the parallel between abortion and masks. I thought that was very helpful in setting up going into that discussion. I must take issue, though, with 2 points you made. First and foremost, theologically speaking, the issue myself and many others that I speak to regarding the issue of masks being required in the church is a theological issue. It is not necessarily rooted in government overreach, because that becomes nuanced as an extension from the primary premise. The primary premise has to do with theology. What do we fear, love, and trust? This mask issue has become a sacramental thing from a false religion, which is that which is the zeitgeist of the age, that we control everything, our destinies, our fates, our future. It's all based in fear. And the mask has become the new means to show love for the neighbor and trust in the science and the scientism that exists everywhere where we live. Coming from that also, I must take issue as a construction worker, one who does work as a union carpenter out here, working out in the rain, working out in the snow, working out in, you know, the heat and the sun. When I wear this mask over my face, this wet rag of face nastiness, I cannot agree with the parallel that you were presenting. Yes, you are correct. There are many of us who do wear masks to properly prevent particulates that do cause harm, such as silica or aerosols that are common use in our industry. It does help and work to prevent that from being breathed in and causing physiological issues. But that is not the common and normal daily occurrence for which we work in. When one works wearing 40 pounds of equipment hanging off your body, the elements that we work in, you do not always have a mask on.
Thank you very much for your comment. Well, first of all, let's lay a few things out here. I'm happy to agree with you on your first point. I was not addressing masks as a theological issue, and I'm glad you raised that, because if the mask has become, as you say, kind of a sacrament of this worldview of that we control everything, a fear-based religion that is foreign to Christianity, if that's what it's become, that's certainly not the reason that Christians should wear masks. Now, be careful. I'm not saying that Christians shouldn't wear masks because other people wear them for the wrong reason. You see what I'm saying? Just because some people wear them for the wrong reason, they bought into the zeitgeist of fear. They do treat the mask like a sacrament of control. They do believe that somehow they do control their destinies. All very unchristian ideas. Just because other people wear masks for that reason doesn't mean that Christians shouldn't wear masks. Because Christians can wear masks for a different reason, out of love for their neighbor, out of concern for their neighbor's not only their well-being, but maybe even also their neighbor's sense of what? Safety. Safety can very quickly become an idol. I know that, but that doesn't mean that Christians react in the opposite direction. If safety has become the idol of the age, that doesn't mean the Christians embrace not being safe or not being not caring about their own or someone else's safety. We do not believe, Christians do not believe what we believe as a response to any errors that are out there in the world. I often say Lutheran theology is not a reaction to any other theology. It is what God's word says. There are a lot of theologies that are really just reactions to other theologies. But Christians don't believe what they believe in reaction to or in response to the errors of the world. We believe what we believe because Scripture says what it says, and not because we're trying to counterbalance some falsehood out there. An attempt to do that will always push you outside the pale of Christian teaching. Well, I got to counterbalance this teaching in the church with an equal and opposite teaching. You're going to end up with an equal and opposite error. And the same is true of masks. If the pagans and the heathens wear masks because it's somehow become a sacrament to them, that doesn't mean Christians say, well, I'll never wear a mask. No, they will wear a mask for a different reason. And as to the construction parallel, I don't know enough about the construction business. I just know that there are people who wear masks as part of their profession, as part of the regular safety regime. And we don't get all worked up about that. So all we're asked to do here is to be concerned as Christians about the safety of our neighbors. If you don't believe the mask makes you or your neighbor more safe, then be concerned about their fears. We are not permitted as Christians to say, well, they shouldn't be afraid, therefore I don't have to do anything. This is, as I said before, an issue of the weaker brother. If that's how you have to look at it, it's the issue of the weaker brother. Paul says, if eating meat offends my weaker brother, I will never eat meat again. That's what he says. He bases his behavior not on his own conscience, but on the conscience of his neighbor. That is basic Christian good works and ethics. But I do want to say this as well. Some have made this into some sort of, like, I'm being persecuted. It's a religious freedom issue. I'm not talking to you in particular, but some have made this into the mask as an infringement on my religious beliefs. If your employer requires everyone in the office to wear a mask all day long, I really hope that they don't. But if they do, they're not singling you out as a Christian. They're not doing it because you're a Christian. You're not undergoing Christian persecution. You may think that your rights are being infringed upon, but that's kind of what employers do. Employers are the guys who tell you what to do, even though you may have the right to do something otherwise, apart from your employment. If your local grocery store says you got to wear a mask to come in and buy eggs, guess what? That's not religious persecution either. Everybody's got to wear the mask. All the employees are wearing the masks. And as concerned as we should be about the health of our neighbor, we should be concerned about those people who are forced all day long, like grocery store workers, to have their face covered. It cannot be pleasant. It may have complications. I don't know what I'm not a doctor, but we should be concerned about all of our neighbors. So to disdain someone because they're wearing a mask, because you think your rights are being infringed upon, is not Christian love toward your neighbor. That person may be wearing a mask because they fear. That person may be wearing a mask because they're sick. That person may be wearing a mask because their employer says they have to or they can't come to work. Always based upon the conscience of our neighbor and not our own consciences.
Quick email from Miles. He writes, 4 years ago, you guys seemed to be concerned about a new Hitler and Trump. Have you possibly picked up on any other theme for Mr. Trump? See any objectively good works on behalf of us? See any self-sacrifice? Thanks for the email, Miles.
Self-sacrifice, no. I will be quite honest with you. I haven't seen any self-sacrifice from the president. I don't know him personally. I don't know what he's been doing. I know he does work very hard, and maybe there's some self-sacrifice there, but all presidents work hard. It kind of goes with the job. Good works on our behalf? Absolutely. The judges he's appointed, the executive orders that he's signed, especially those that protect life, either directly or indirectly, I see those as well. I don't think we ever said on the air that Trump was going to be a new Hitler. I don't think that was ever said on the air. We had concerns about him, and I think there were concerns that were shared by a lot of people who heard the promises but didn't see any previous evidence that those promises would be kept. Well, I'll be corrected. A lot of those promises were kept. Not all of them, but a lot of them were kept, especially the ones that count, like who judges our laws from the bench and his, I can say without a doubt, his unprecedented and unwavering defense of unborn life. When we come back, a little more listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Stay tuned.
Communication's never been as easy as today, and it would make me happy when you've gone so far away.
Advent is a time to reflect, pray, and worship the Christ who came, who comes, and will come again. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December is an Advent devotional booklet called The Jesse Tree. These short daily devotions are filled with symbols, telling the story of Jesus from creation to his second coming. The Jesse Tree is available for only $3. Learn more at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Jesse Tree.
This is LCMS missionary Pastor John Bombaro. The Coeur d'Alene area in North Idaho has a new confessional parish committed to the Lutheran liturgy, excellence in biblical teaching, and faithful pastoral care. Blessed Sacrament Lutheran Church of Hayden, Idaho meets at 9 a.m. for our Augsburg Academy and 10 a.m. for the Divine Service of Holy Communion, at which we encounter the real voice and real presence of Jesus Christ. For our location or to join the growing family of Lutherans dedicated to the sacraments, confessions, and historic liturgy, visit BlessedSacramentLutheranChurch.com, BlessedSacramentLutheranChurch.com.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people, by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.
If I ever write this letter, all the pages I could write.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email, talkback at issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382.
Jeff writes, hello, Todd. While authentic news sources such as Newsmax, One America News, and even the American Center for Law and Justice are reporting on the numerous court battles to prevent the rampant election fraud openly perpetrated by the Democrats, Issues Etc. is busy referring to former Vice President Joe Biden as Vice President-elect Joe Biden. Did any individual states, electors, or the federal government bestow upon you the ability to certify federal election results? Did you decide that the Marxist activities at CNN, NBC, ABC, and CBS now have the power to certify the results of a federal election? Or are you just confused or misinformed? I'm taking it as a given that you are not intentionally promoting the theft of the 2020 federal election by an open promoter of infanticide and sodomy, so why help out the enemy by playing along with the illusion and spreading disinformation? I seem to recall you repeatedly suggesting over the years during every election cycle that Christians should get out and vote, even though there have rarely been any remotely moral candidates in many decades. We did, but there will no longer be any reason to do so if the Democrats are just allowed to steal each successive election. So please stop helping them and work to save the institution of voting while we still have it. Ends Jeff.
Well, when Barack Obama was elected, in that gap of time between the actual election and when the vote was certified, I referred to Barack Obama as president-elect. When Donald Trump was elected in 2016, in that time between when the election was held and when the vote was certified, I referred to Donald Trump as president-elect. And so I'm completely consistent in my practice here. Even though there were people that were alleging that Donald Trump stole the election somehow. So when Joe Biden was elected, and it took a little longer to figure out if he was elected, in the time between the election or knowing the election results, and in this case, they've been thoroughly, every attempt has been made to challenge them, and it's really gotten nowhere in the courts. I don't know how, where you go from now. In between that time when he's elected and the time when he's certified, I refer to him as President-elect Biden. I want you to get used to something, folks. Pretty soon he's going to be President Biden. Christians don't get to pick the reality they live in. I know that you don't like it, but we accept the truth whether we like it or not. Is it possible that the election was stolen, that there was some sort of widespread nefarious fraud that somehow swung elections, an election that should have gone to President Trump, to Vice President Biden? Is it possible? Yes, it's possible. But the electors have voted. He's passed the number of electoral college votes that he needs to secure the election. You know, a couple weeks, they're going to, or in January, they're going to receive that in the House of Representatives. And on January 20th, he's going to be inaugurated. And I just want to brace yourselves because I'm going to call him President Biden, just as I called Barack Obama, President Obama, and President Trump, President Trump. I'm going to honor the office and our system of government and refer to him by the title that the election afforded him. Now, you can continue to believe that the election was stolen, but let me just remind you, he will be president. You do have the obligation when he sits in that office to honor that office. That is a command of Scripture. You may think that it was ill-gotten gains. A lot of people thought President Trump had the office by ill-gotten gains. Don't be like them. Don't be like all those people who denied for 4 years that Donald Trump was the duly elected president of the United States. Do your patriotic duty and your Christian responsibility to honor the office and the person who sits in it. You don't have to like him. You don't have to agree with him. I don't. But he is the president, and I have a command from Scripture that says that we are to honor those who are set in authority over us. And whether you think it's legitimate or not, he, for the next 4 years, will be set in authority over you. I just have to say, don't fall into the trap that so many people on the other side of the political spectrum fell into for the last 4 years and made themselves just miserable for 4 years. They thought that they could live in a reality that was in their own reality. And Christians are truth lovers. We do not get to pick our reality. That is falling into the trap of, when I talk about the spirit of the age, people out there who say that they can pick the reality and impose it on you. Don't fall into that trap. We live in the world that God has set us in, and we don't always get to choose what it's going to be like. We very seldom get to choose what it's going to be like, but we accept reality such as it is, even if we don't like it, because Christians love the truth.
Take it from what it's worth from a cum laude graduate of the University of Missouri Columbia School of Journalism, and I know I'm going to get heat on this, but I would not refer to Newsmax and One American News as authentic news sources. I know I'm going to get heat on this.
Why?
Because they're news commentary. They are the right's version of MSNBC.
And CNN.
And I'm not saying Christians good conscience can't watch them, but just this isn't a who, what, where, when, why, and how. These aren't who, what, where, when, why, and how news sources. Not that I can refer to many that exist nowadays, but I just caution people from referring to these as authentic news sources.
Because they are commentary and editorial on the news and not actually sources of the news. Here's some feedback from our recent interview with Bishop Charles Shipu.
Hey, Pastor Todd, this is Bryce from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And I just wanted to share that I appreciated you guys having my good friend, Charles Shaput, Archbishop, on your show. I know that it takes great courage as Lutherans for us to bring Roman Catholic Archbishop onto Lutheran Public Radio. I grew up playing racquetball with this man, and he was and remains one of the few men of God outside of the Lutheran Church that I still respect. And so thank you for bringing him on, especially for this topic and the impact it has on politics. And thank you for stepping outside of the box. Continue your good work. It is a great outreach and certainly played a role in me becoming a Lutheran.
Thank you very much, and thanks for listening as well. We had a recent conversation with Archbishop Charles Shipu. We also had one with Cardinal Raymond Burke, and both of them were echoing kind of the same theme, the question being, we have now a president-elect who says he's a devout Roman Catholic, but he runs afoul of the church's teachings on life and marriage, among other things, but those two are really the biggest caliber issues. And should the man receive communion, both of those men faithful to the teaching of their church, and in this case, narrowly speaking, to the teaching of Holy Scripture, said he should not receive communion. He shouldn't attempt to receive it. It would be a sacrilege. So thank you very much for your comments. We're happy to do it as often as we can. When we come back, Rod Dreher joins us. He's senior editor at the American Conservative. We'll get his thoughts on a Washington, D.C. what? Was it a rally? Was it a protest? Was it a revival meeting? Well, it was called the Jericho March. We'll find out what he saw when he watched it next. Thanks to our listeners, Issues Etc. has operated independently and in the black for 12 consecutive years. With 2 weeks left in 2020, we're $95,000 short of expenses. Please make a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Sent to serve. Across the nation, children are back in 1,900 Lutheran schools serving students in early childhood through high school. Whether in person or through remote learning, students are thriving in programs of excellence in safe, caring Christian environments taught by dedicated teachers. To find a school in your community, visit lcms.org/schools. That's lcms.org/schools.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Do you want your neighbors and community to see what you're celebrating this Christmas season? Why not display an outdoor nativity in front of your home or church? It's a great way to show others what Christmas is all about, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Check out the Outdoor Nativity Store at outdoornativitystore.com. durable, affordable, and American-made nativities, outdoornativitystore.com, outdoornativitystore.com.